look, it's true. And first of all, we're talking about the fourth annual Scott Hamilton and Friends event coming up on Sunday, November 24th at Bridgestone Arena, co-hosted by Sheryl Crow. I've been to all three previous events, and it keeps getting better and better each and every year. And before we get into this year's lineup with the musical guests, you know, for those that are maybe new to Nashville, Middle Tennessee, you go, okay, I know who Scott Hamilton is. What is this all about, the Scott Hamilton and Friends event?
Well, it's, you know, cancer has been an unbelievable player in my life. And, you know, I lost my mother to cancer when I was very young, and then I survived cancer when I was in my 20s. So I knew it was important to be involved. I learned so much in those experiences that I knew that I had to, you know, do whatever I could to make the cancer community different and better in any way that I possibly could. So when I lost my mom, I became a fundraiser. And then when I survived cancer, I realized all that was missing in the cancer community, and I realized I had to be more of an activist. So, you know, for the last 20 years, you know, since we launched CARES as an initiative with the Cleveland Clinic, and then for the last five as a dedicated foundation, we've really tried to fill the gaps in the cancer community and do whatever we can to make the next journey better, easier. And now, as a research foundation, all we want to do is change the way cancer is treated forever. And so we do events, we bring people together, and you know, we do what I do. We skate. I have a lot of friends. I live in Nashville. So we have, you know, musician friends, all been impacted by cancer. Sheryl Crow, my co-host for the last 4 years, has been, she's a cancer survivor. And so it's important to, you know, do whatever you can to, you know, make it better, you know, make the community stronger, better, deeper, and to try to save lives. And that's what we do.
Well, in this year's event, too, first of all, some personal friends of mine, Six Wire, the backing band this year.
Oh, but, man, they're awesome.
And, but for those that don't know how this works, you get some of the, not just the top U.S. figure skaters out there, you also grasp from the pool of the world's best as well, and they're skating to live music. So whether you're talking about Sheryl Crow, but this year your musical guest includes Kenny Loggins, Gavin DeGraw, Jonathan Cain, who wrote some of those key hits for Journey, formerly with the Babies. I mean, talk about the lineup and the idea and concept when you thought, okay, it'd be cool to have a figure skating event. How can we make it extra special and add that Nashville flavor? Well, you certainly were able to do that.
Well, I'm a huge music fan. It started years ago, you know, when I was working with the Cleveland Clinic, and we do a big show in Cleveland where you'd have one artist come out and do a couple songs. And then it became a thing that's like, well, they're here anyway. We might as well do a whole show of their music. And I got to work with all my heroes, you know, growing up. Not all of them, but most of my heroes growing up. And now when we're in Nashville, it's really great to be able to, you know, have so many different artists of different genres and everything. And we're going to have rock and country and kind of like, alternative. And then we've got Christian music in the show as well. And when you have live music in every single song, and which is really important to me, you know every single song, and it makes you really comfortable listening to it. And then you see it interpreted, it's kind of movement to music, with the best skaters, some of which are the best skaters that ever lived in their genre, in their discipline. It's beyond spectacular. It's like you don't know where to look. You know, it's like, I want to watch my music, but it's like I'm watching, and then I see this incredible athleticism and artistry going on in front of me in such a powerful way, and it's almost like sensory overload. It was so funny when Vince Gill did my show in Cleveland years ago. After about four songs, he goes, "I just got to tell y'all," he goes, "this is by far the most ignored I've ever been my entire career."
I love that.
No, but I mean, it was just, he got the joke. And when you see the artists, when we're putting the show together and they're seeing the skating in front of them for the very first time, like Ryan Bradley will do one of his big upside down flip things, and the musician will stop for a second and go, I got to get back into the song, you know, and they kind of forget where they are for a second. And it's really, it's beyond spectacular. It's a great way to bring people together for a common cause, and we truly celebrate life in a really unique way.
You know, you're a cancer survivor, your co-host, Cheryl Crow, cancer survivor, and both residents here at Middle Tennessee. How did you two connect and start working together?
You know, it's really wild. The first time I met Cheryl was at the 2002 Olympics in Salt Lake City. She was doing a concert, and I was in one of the hotel lobbies, meeting some people to do some media, and I ran into Cheryl in the lobby, and I was so taken aback because I was a huge fan of hers, like we all are. And I met her, I go, man, she's a lot smaller than I thought she was, and then, years later, she moved to Nashville after she survived cancer, and we were connected again through a mutual friend, and Brad and Kim Paisley. And my wife and I hit it off with Cheryl, and Tracy and Cheryl are so close. You know, we've got, she's got two boys. We have two boy birth children, two adopted children. And, Cheryl's boys are adopted. And we realize that we have more in common than we don't. And I saw it with Cheryl years ago. You know what? It'll go back to Memphis. We went to see her show at Mud Island at the amphitheater there. And we're after the show, we're gushing and what a great show. And she looks at me and she goes, I want to do your show in Cleveland. And I said, I never wanted to ask you. I didn't want that to be ever, I didn't want to overstep the bounds of our friendship. And she goes, no, I'm asking you. And it was like, what in the world just happened? So she came to Cleveland, she did the show. And then when we launched as a foundation and the Nashville, event started, becoming real, I met her for breakfast and I said, I want this to be our show. I want this to be you and me coming together for cancer. And she said, I'm in. And so, first 3 years, her band, it was her and Star and everything. And then this last year, she had a gigantic, if you haven't heard her latest record.
Oh, it's outstanding. Absolutely outstanding.
It's a masterpiece. And so she went out all year to support the record. And so she said, I'll come and co-host, but I really can't be involved in the same way I was before because my band is fried. And I said, totally get it. And so, the last show I ever performed in ever as like my, kind of my production, I brought the guys in from Six Wire to be the band and we did a show in Lake Placid. And that was the last time I performed as a performing artist skater on ice. And so we've just held this great friendship and, Chuck and Steve and all the guys, they're just good friends and they're phenomenal musicians. And so when Cheryl, stepped aside this year, they were absolutely the most logical candidates to step in and just take over where Cheryl and Peter Stroud, her band leader, left off. And having Cheryl still involved as kind of the ringmaster and then having this band play for all these iconic artists and every single song will be familiar. I mean, it's just, the way we're opening the show this year is going to just blow people out of their seats. It's unbelievable. It's just incredible the way we're going to come out just right out of the gate. It's like game on, and it's going to skate big. It's going to skate great, and people are going to love every single song played.
Scott Hamilton joining us again. Yeah, you mentioned Chuck Tilio of Six Wire. He used to be my next-door neighbor about 20 years ago down in Franklin. And then I've known Steve back in the days when he used to work with Phil Vassar. We're talking about they're the house band for the Nashville Predators. You saw them as backing up during the NFL draft festivities back in April. Outstanding band members there. And you saw a lot of Steve's work, too, on the old TV show Nashville as well.
Yeah.
By the way, I never asked you this, and I knew 1984 was the glory year for you, but when you think about the trials and tribulations, you began figure skating at 13, and then
at age nine, age nine.
Well, then you almost got out of it, but it wasn't just like you show up and you win events. I mean, you had your trials and tribulations before you got your gold medal in 1984. I mean, in 1980, you actually qualified and you actually represented the U.S. as far as at the Winter Olympics there, and actually had the honor of carrying the American flag as well.
Yeah, when they told me I was carrying the flag, I just said, why? I'm the third guy in a three-man team. I have no chance of meddling. I'm almost like a skating, competing tourist here at this Olympic Games. And they said they didn't really want it to be about, you know, the flag bearer. They didn't want this team to be represented by, you know, medals and some, you know, that kind of that you know, rarefied air of winning gold medals or anything. They really wanted it to be about the journey. And so I was like, wow. Yeah, I can represent that really well because, you know, for all those years that I was on the novice level and, you know, I was terrible. I went to nationals the first year on the novice level, and I fell five times in my long program and came in dead last, and it was humiliating. And the next year I went to nationals again, I came in next to last. And then the next year I went to nationals in the junior level, and I only beat two guys, you know. So my kind of time in the lower levels, and I try to really, pour into my kids saying, there's nothing about, you know, your athletic involvement or adventure that it's a destination. It's all part of the journey. And you've got to lose a lot in order to figure out how to win. And honestly, you learn a lot more from losing than you do from winning. Because when you lose, you get a lot of feedback. And I got a ton of feedback early on. And by the time I was able to figure it out, it was just timing was perfect for me. You know, I figured it out. I got a jump that nobody else was doing at that point, and I was able to establish myself, and my technique was solid and reliable, so I was able to stay consistently and never really take myself out of a competition. So I kind of figured it out over time, but there was a huge, long, dedicated stretch where it was like, oh my, I'm like, self-esteem wasn't a part of the equation.
I want to ask you a personal question, but I know that just because of your attitude, and it probably has changed over the last three decades, we talk about you being a cancer survivor, and has your attitude always been like it is now? It's like, okay, you get bad news, you got some more bad news, what, back in 2016? But you always keep fighting, and you always have this incredible attitude. And I think you're, you know, when you hear other folks going through it maybe the first time, I say, just look at Scott, you know, look and read about Scott. Just you can use so much of your energy and your attitude to help stay positive, especially when you get bad news like this. But you've been incredible throughout your many battles.
Well, I mean, you know, I when I wrote my last book, Finish First, you know, it was, you know, it's sort of a kind of a guide to, you know, really approaching your life in a competitive way of, you know, being whatever. But I had to figure out how many times in one chapter about failure, how many times I fell. And I fell, you know, minimum 41,600 times. And I think about that. I think about falling down 41,600 times. And then getting up 41,600 times. And I realized that, you know, I failure is a part of it, you know, and I try to use the examples that, you know, if you're a baseball player and you only fail two out of three times, you're in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know, and it's like that. It's like, you know, when we get knocked down, it's not so much about what the knockdown is, it's how we respond to it. And I guess I've been really lucky that in all those years that I lost, you know, a lot and failed young, it just fortified me so that I wasn't really afraid of it anymore. And when I was really, you know, I guess 4 to 8, I pretty much lived in hospitals because I had a childhood illness. So when I got sick, you know, I'd already built that muscle where, you know, I survived something frightening and mysterious, and I really wasn't afraid of that anymore. And then when I came to faith, you know, I realized that, you know, our bodies are very fragile, incredibly fragile, phenomenally resilient, but ultimately temporary. So I kind of live with that understanding that today is an opportunity to get out and do something great and fun and to pour into my kids and to breathe in, breathe out. And I try not to sweat the small stuff, you know, like I used to. And, you know, once you kind of adopt that kind of mentality day to day, and I love people, and, and I really want to serve people. You know, I realize that I can work with that, and it can be a driving force in my life day to day.
Well, I think the world of you, and the fact that you're here in our backyard here in Middle Tennessee, it makes it even more special. And once again, the event is coming up on Sunday, November 24th, 5 p.m. at Bridgestone Arena, the fourth annual Scott Hamilton and Friends event. You're a nice mixture. We're talking about not just the U.S., but some of the world's great skaters, Olympic, world, and national champions, mixed with an incredible lineup of music artists as well. And let our listeners know again, I've been to the first three. You will want to go to this event. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster, also at the Bridgestone box office. But for those, are there other different ways that people can help as far as the Scott Hamilton Cares Foundation?
Oh, please. Yeah, they can go on scottcares.org, scottcares.org, and get involved, if any way that you possibly can. Volunteer, become a monthly contributor, get involved with what we're doing, learn more about, we're a pretty collaborative, good citizen. We're going over all of our research proposals now, and it's amazing how, we're not really interested in being a silo. We work really well with the Beef Foundation for cancer research, and we work well with Moffitt Cancer Center, Sloan Kettering, Vanderbilt, Cleveland Clinic. I mean, we really try to work with quality, institutions of excellence, but we also know that we've been given a unique opportunity to really build something special, but I can't do it alone. I mean, I wish I could, but I'm in that kind of that mode of, Danny Thomas was one of my big heroes, and he just said I'd rather get a dollar from a million people than $1 million from one person. I'm kind of both, honestly. I'm not going to pick. I'll just, whatever we can do to...
We'll take the dollar, and if you got a million handy, hey, we'll take that as well.
We'll take that, too. And honestly, it's like we're here to make it better. We're here to make life better and really be collaborative and try to create treatment options that are... We don't want chemotherapy anymore. We don't want radiation anymore. We want forms of treatment that allow our bodies to do what it does best, and that's, get past illness, and cancer is like any other illness. So we really, we depend on people coming in and partnering with us, and cancer is the number one cause of death, and there's no one that hasn't been impacted by cancer in some way, shape, or form. So we're just trying to do our part to build the infrastructure to change cancer forever for the better and save lives.